Hi, and welcome back to the HR Mind. Sociologist Cord Keyes first coined the term languishing as the antithesis of flourishing. Languishing is defined by apathy, a sense of restlessness, or feeling unsettled and an overall lack of interest in life or things that typically bring you joy. The best word to describe it is meh. Many of us have probably experienced some of the characteristics of languishing throughout the pandemic. And this is something that could impact many facets of our life and I think is especially important in the context of work. A study conducted by Redenlinges and colleagues looked at the impacts of flourishing on employees' intentions to leave their workplace, their performance, and on organizational citizenship behaviors. Results showed that when employees flourish at work, they should be less prone to consider leaving their workplace, increase their organizational citizenship behaviors, and enhance their performance both within and beyond the restraints of their job description. So how do we move from languishing to flourishing? We have psychologist and author Sarah Dibberman on today to speak about how she thinks we as individuals and how organizations can promote flourishing. Sarah Dibberman is a Toronto-based psychologist and author of 5 self-help books. She's also the podcast host of Experts Connect with Help Me Sarah, and is a regular guest expert on radio and television. Thank you for joining us today, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start off by asking what you might tell a client who describes a sense of languishing either in their daily lives or at work. What can you recommend they do to improve their well-being?
Great question. So I'm thinking that because most clients wouldn't actually use the word languishing per se to tell me how they're feeling, but they'd rather present with a bunch of symptoms that I would know is reflective of languishing, that I would begin by first naming it for them, because it's helpful when people know what's going on, or identifying what's happening for them. And then I would normalize how they're feeling, especially because we've been through such a difficult time over the past 2 years during COVID, and feeling that sense of meh or blah, that sense of languishing is very normal right now. And then prior to recommending what they can do to improve their well-being, I would ask them a series of different questions to determine how they've been impacted, how their mental health and their well-being has been impacted by being in a state of languishing, and also for how long, because that helps me in terms of helping them. Sure. So for example, I would ask them about their sleep hygiene, and not just about how many hours of sleep that they're getting at night, but also about what time they're going to bed, what time they're waking up, whether they're consistent times or all over the place. Many people who are languishing find that they're tired and that they're taking naps during the day. And although they may feel that that is rejuvenating at the time, naps can often lead to disrupted sleep at night. So I would talk about that. I would also ask about their daily routines, such as taking care of themselves. Personal hygiene has really changed over the last couple of years, especially for people who are living alone. They don't mind if they smell a little bit, if they have no one that they're living with. So they may not be showering as much. I know of people who are not getting out of their nightgowns or PJs if they're working from home all day. They make sure that they don't go on video for those conference calls. And also I would find about how much movement they're incorporating into their daily routine. Are they, you know, just sitting at their computers for 8, 9, 10 hours a day? Are they moving around? Are they taking breaks? And this could be both indoors and out. I know that some people may not even go outside for days at a time, and that is not good in terms of not absorbing those vitamin D rays. And also they're not interacting with people or even breathing in fresh air. And I would also ask them about what they're eating, how they're taking care of themselves, about their food consumption and the kinds of foods that they're reaching for, because many people, you know, who are feeling this in a state of languishing may not have the motivation to cook themselves healthy meals or eat clean food. So they may, you know, reach for a bag of potato chips or eat prepackaged food. And that can also impact how they're feeling. And then after gathering all the information, I would help them guide, I would help guide them towards developing a healthier plan to support their well-being, which may include making sure to set an alarm for the same time every weekday morning. And I say weekday because weekends can be different. Making sure that they're showering at least every second day, brushing their teeth, getting dressed even, Right. And then making to shut down technology for periods of time each day to refuel their bodies with food and exercise. And then if they've been given the option of returning to work part-time, to consider returning to a hybrid work model so that they're forced to get back to an increased state of normal by commuting to work, socializing with their colleagues around the so-called water cooler, mm-hmm. and interacting with the world outside their homes.
Okay. Yeah, that all sounds great. I think it really relates to the idea of what I've read about in terms of building psychological capital, developing a sense of hope and identifying personal goals and pathways to achieving them, and kind of just setting those personal goals for themselves. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much for sharing that. And those are some great suggestions. Now I want to move on to the organizational side of things. So I recently read a study by Ho and Chan that demonstrated that perceived organizational support is an important contributor to employee flourishing. Employees who perceived that their organization valued their contributions and cared about their well-being and committed to providing them support were more likely to flourish in the long run. So now Brendan's going to, you know, talk to you a little bit about that and ask you a question.
Sure.
Yeah, Sarah. So our second question for you is, do you have any insight in regards to what an employer could do to show their support and care for their employees? Homing in on these, calling them like little wins or a grouping of routines, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think employers should identify the biggest losses that their employees have experienced during COVID. Especially as a result of working remotely or in smaller groups or masked if working in an office. And then as a way of showing support and care, that they can try to implement strategies to help overcome the losses. So for example, because there's been such a loss of social connection for employees working remotely, it's important that employers create opportunities for their employees to come together online or in smaller groups in person. And not just for work-related chats, but for social catch-ups or on a bigger scale to even plan creative fun events for their employees to attend online, such as game shows or talent show events. Also, I think it would be helpful for leaders within departments to meet one-on-one with employees within their teams on a regular basis to catch up. Again, not just in regards to projects on the go, but to really ask, so how are you doing? How are you really doing? And then to be able to gently offer resources for enhanced mental health help as needed. And now that the weather is getting warmer, even encouraging team members to meet in a park for a lunch outing or to go for a walk and talk. And this, of course, would encourage both social connection and physical movement. And then employers can also encourage their employees to go easy on themselves, to recognize that what they're feeling, especially during a pandemic, that has been around for longer than we anticipated is normal. They can also encourage their employees to try to make sure that they're engaging in even small activities each day that bring them joy. So maybe before they start work, going to pick up a latte or going for a walk while listening to their favorite podcast. And then lastly, you know, experts in the field of positive psychology, which is where the words flourishing and languishing came from, recommend opportunities for helping people get into states of flow, F-L-O-W. So employers can explain that this means to totally immerse yourself in something. So they could be encouraging people to do jigsaw puzzles or gardening or even getting involved in a work project. So it's whatever allows you to lose yourself, so to speak, in the activity. And this promotes a feeling of well-being. And actually, it's been found to be one of the contributing factors for people who are coping better during the pandemic. And then lastly, actually, one more thing, another way for an employer to show caring and support would be to offer free online workshops on different topics related to mental health and well-being to their employees on an ongoing basis, even if it's only once every 3 months.
That's really interesting. I've never heard that suggestion before. That's a really interesting idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, what I'm hearing you say is it's less of specific guidelines from organizations and more like a cultural approach to it, and giving employees the flexibility to do these types of things, whether that's take an extra 10 minutes to go for a walk with their coworkers at lunch, but maybe not you mentioned a few specific programs, you know, like the flow and stuff like that, but really it's just an openness to creative ideas, I guess.
Yeah, the specific could be about like the online teaching or the in-person teaching courses, you know, but it's more about, as you said, a culture or mentality in regards to acknowledging the changes that employees have been through and being sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a company I'd want to work for. Well, we got one more question for you from Sam here.
Sure. Question for you. How can employers look out for signs that their employee may be experiencing something beyond languishing, for example, depression?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because languishing is certainly trending towards depression, and it's sometimes difficult to find, you know, the blurry line that separates the two. You know, I think that employers could offer training to their team leads or their human resource departments on spotting signs of poor mental health in their employees. You know, of course, as you would understand, in order to actually diagnose a condition such as depression or anxiety, for example, one would need to be a trained professional such as a psychologist, but you know, the employee, the team leads or the HR departments don't need to be psychologists to pick up on signs that someone is feeling more than just, as you said, meh. So for example, they could be looking for signs such as if an employee is making more errors than usual, if the employee appears to be having difficulty concentrating or is less productive or motivated, maybe they're missing meetings or they're calling in sick more often, or if they seem to be lacking an affect, like they're not, like their mood seems to be down when you're speaking to them, even online, or if they're appearing like very poorly groomed. Then it might be a good idea to have a one-on-one with that employee to gently ask if they're feeling more down than usual or if anything has changed in their lives that's causing them to feel different to the way that they used to be. And there are some inventories that people can find online that's meant for the layperson. There's something called the BECK, B-E-C-K, Depression Inventory that someone can complete and that HR departments may even give to people just so they can look at the areas that are most closely more affected when somebody is feeling depressed. And then the employer could recommend that an employee either self-evaluate, as I said, or to speak to somebody. And so I think HR departments or team leads would be very helpful if they had like a list of services or resources that they might be able to refer to is important. And, you know, a lot of companies have employee assistance programs that they might be able to refer to. Mm-hmm. And then one last thing, once a recommendation has been made, I think it's also important to be able to follow up with the employee to inquire as to how they're feeling. Just don't make the recommendation and then just drop it, but stay in touch. You know, ask them, have you followed up in terms of like, you know, you need to do your homework, but more of concern. And just to keep in touch with somebody, especially who's showing signs of languishing or depression.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you think it's kind of a fine line? Because the one thing I'm thinking is, you know, if an employee were to say, why are you asking me these sort of questions? You're not my psychologist, you're my employer, and kind of like digging too deep into finding what's going on with them. Like, could that potentially cause issues? And how do you, you know, inquire and provide support without kind of going too far?
Right.
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, because I'm not an industrial psychologist and don't work primarily in the area of with corporations, although I work with a lot of people, obviously, who are working and I understand how they're impacted. I think that, you know, within HR, you would probably know what your parameters or boundaries are in regards to what you can ask and what would be inappropriate or a violation of the person's privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe it's a coworker that's asking that has, you know, prior relationship with that person, or maybe it's just, you know, it's more general questions, or, you know, I noticed that you've been not attending the meetings and that you seem a little bit down, as opposed to using the clinical words like depressed, or maybe even using an example from your own experience. You can say, I know that it's been hard during COVID to keep up. You know, if there's anything that you would like, if you want some resources, I can certainly provide them to you.
That would be amazing. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This was really, really nice that you took the time to be with us today. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. So in next week's episode, we will have HR consultant Andrea Garson to speak to us about attracting talent during COVID-19.